You're listening to Jenny's Real Talk on the Block with Jennifer DeVoe, only on LA Talk Radio.
We lost Jenny.
I'm back.
Welcome, 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 all you entertainment holics out there in Radio Land. It's time yet again for another thrilling, exciting installment of, you guessed it, Jenny's Real Talk on the Block, coming at you live each and every Wednesday from 5 to 6 p.m. Pacific time. That's 8 to 9 p.m. Eastern time, only on LA Talk Radio. We're also syndicated on the following: iHeartRadio, Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, Google Podcasts, YouTube. We're on Spotify. We're pretty much everywhere you can find anything to do with radio broadcasts or podcasts. We're like so many different sites. Just check us out. We're on Sirius XM and also Audible. We're your hosts, Jennifer DeVoe Muse, and JJ the Muse is over there.
Hello.
Yeah, anyway, we're together. We're Jenny and the Muse. We're also joined by China Myers, author from Pennsylvania, as well as Derek Webb from New Hampshire. He is a health expert, fitness trainer, actor, producer for many horror movies and whatnot. And of course, we're also joined by our guest today, actress, singer, songwriter, Brantley Goldford. Hell yeah. And we have our quick shout out to the bands that and artists that we manage: Potty Mouth, Black Sabbatha, Don Marlowe, Cleaver, Band of Family, Wicked Star, China Myers, Hollywood Nightmare, Freak Show, Berserk, Derek Webb. we got China Myers, we already mentioned, Thomas the Red, the Viking Comedian. We got Voke Hills, Star Daddy, Nola Star, Mortis the Devil's Reject, actress Lillian Sin, also from the realm of horror. We got Fallen Fury, the Borderline Radio Show featuring DJs Carol Dyack and Bruce Blaine from Italy, Burn the Ships, Aussie Train, Jane's Addicted, Boffy, and Lucas Humphrey, also known as Adam Nuke, which they're both freak show performers or, entertainers. And then also now with us, Scott Plant, singer, songwriter from New Hampshire. Hell yeah. We've got a lot of great things going on. And we have a shout out real quick to our bars and venues that we deal with. Universal Bar and Grill in North Hollywood, California. Shout out to Greg Beer, the owner. Rainbow Bar and Grill, and shout out to our buddy Nick Foco, of course, who used to be of Metal Mayhem Mondays and Tuesdays there. And that's Petey's place, owner Petey Partello. And we got a lot going on, of course. Like I said, first of all, don't forget to say this or I will get yelled at. Sony Music Entertainment, we're distributed by them, as well as Sony Music Publishing, The Orchard, Art 19, and 5050 Global Music, Inc. And, of course, like I said, we have our guest with us today, actress and singer-songwriter, Brantley Goldford.
Yay! Hey,
how are you doing?
Great. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, very excited. I saw that you have your new movie coming out. Or just came out this summer, rather. Yes. He Drives at Night.
Yes.
I thought that was a very interesting title, of course. And it looks like it's. And I know you also have a song coming out next month. And so let's start asking some questions, boys and girls. First of all,
Derek, you want to go first?
Go for it, China. Go for it, China.
Okay. I got a lot of questions.
This sounds fun.
Yeah. So, now I know you said you don't like to be defined as a Christian actress, and I don't blame you because I'm Christian also, but you could be versatile, you know? and keep God in your heart at the same time, right? You feel me?
Yeah, and I do that.
Yeah, yeah, same here. So your movie, what's your movie about? Tell us about your movie. I know about your movie, but I want you to tell the listeners about your movie that you're
in. Of course. Yes, yes. It's based on a true story about a serial killer that that's what he does. He's a serial killer. And he just how can I expand on that? He's what I like most about the movie is I think it's very realistic. The way it's portrayed, the director, Chuck Chapman, did an awesome job of portraying it very realistically and not really, and kind of putting some mystery in there and really not just giving it all away right away. But it's about how he follows people and eventually, you know, kills them. So yeah, that's not something to laugh at, but you know, that's what the movie is about. Yeah.
All right. Tell our listeners the title. What's the title?
He Drives at Night.
He Drives at Night. Okay. And what was your part?
I played the part of the waitress, and her name is Brenda. And I actually had a pretty big part. I had lines and I was real thankful for my tip, and I walked out and then, you know, I was one of the victims, you know, the many victims that they had. But what I appreciated, what they did for me is they froze the frame. And I had always said a little joke about Hollywood, if they ever got a hold of me, that they would, you know, they would put me in a position like that, you know, but, and so that's exactly what the Chaos Killer, which is the main character. And it also has Butch Patrick in it, which is the A-lister, which he did a great job. But they said, you know, this one was so sweet. And, you know, that is my normal personality. You know, I love people and love doing things for people, love giving presents and everything. So they kind of capitalized on that. Yeah.
That's awesome. Derek, go. You got some questions?
Apparently, if you don't mind me asking, now, with you obviously being in the Hollywood entertainment industry myself and doing some acting, I know how things can work quite frequently. Now, if you don't mind me asking, does the religion aspect for you, does it affect the filmmaking and the entertainment business, or do you get judged by that a lot, or by any of the filmmakers, directors, or producers, if you don't mind me asking?
I don't mind you asking, and no, I don't get judged a lot because I lead with my love, and you know, wherever I go, I just like put myself out there. So, and as far as castings, do you mean like castings?
Yeah, just generally, because I know sometimes in the entertainment business, like Hollywood, they don't like to mix with the political and religious belief culture. They usually get some companies get touchy feely, and I didn't know if you got any bad backlash from that from anyone, or if it had affected you throughout your career.
Yeah, not yet. And really, I've had a good reception from people, from the paparazzi. I've had a good reception from, I was asked to be on Ballers with Rock. I was very good friends, you know, with a lot of the celebrities, and I don't push it in people's faces either. You know, I just kind of let that be up to them, you know. And so, no, I haven't gotten bad results.
They basically know, you know, who you are, I'm sure, because you have a bio that they probably read, right?
Yes, ma'am.
And so they can get a general idea from that, your faith and everything. So, yeah, I'm like you. I don't push it in people's face. Same thing, you know. But, you know, you have a belief in everything. And there's a lot of people that have the same belief, but they don't go, like you said, pushing it in people's face. Yeah, I get it.
I'd rather people gravitate to me through love. And that is kind of what happens. I don't doubt that gravitation is happening. But I think that's happening. I'd like to think that it happens because my love leads me. And then, you know, if they want to ask me, like you're asking me right now about it, fine. But it wasn't because I said, hi, hello, and
I'm a Christian.
Yeah. And you know, I won't tell you that I've never done that. I'm sure I have done that, but not purposely. you know.
Yeah, yeah. So what other movies have you been in?
I've been doing entertainment since I was a child. My parents sang for James Brown. I sang on national radio when I was 10 years old.
Wow, that's awesome.
Well, thank you. I sang, recorded a Rick Springfield song when I, not for him, but in the studio when I was a kid, about 10. I did a Sunshine Juice Bar commercial that was national when I was 10. Done commercials, local commercials. I work at a television station and did some short films, did some short horror films. One is called Best Christmas Ever, which is another film where they, like, you know, annihilate me and everything. They love to annihilate me. But you know, I really would like to do something warm and inviting and more like my personality, because the movies, a lot of the movies I've done in the recent future have not really represented, you know, who I am very well. But that's what acting is, right? You're supposed to go to the opposite spectrum.
Well,
have you ever done voiceovers for cartoons? Because you'd be perfect for Nickelodeon and or Disney. I could just see you and your adorable, cute little Disney voice doing some cartoon characters. And I would pay to see that, because ever since I heard you send me voice clips, I'm like, oh, my God, this is the most adorable woman ever.
Oh, she's got a job, like, you know, you can put that on your resume now.
Thank you.
I sound like a trucker. A male
trucker.
Sorry,
I didn't mean to. I did a Hollywood showcase about 4 years ago, and I performed for Spielberg and all those people. I don't want to lump them in one, like they're all the same. I performed for Spielberg, and I performed for a lot of different agencies from New York to London and all over. And it was 500 people, and they chose 200 out of 4,000. And it was a very, very special, life-changing thing. I didn't come back to Earth for about 3 months, literally. And so it was in Orlando, but it was the Hollywood casting directors. And I got signed with an agency in New York and an agency in North Carolina and an agency in Jacksonville, Florida, called Mannequin. And her name is Amy Hersey. And so, and that's what they told me. You're right. That's what they told me. And all my life, people have said, oh, my goodness, you know, and I don't mean to brag, but I'm just saying, you know, people have said, oh, my goodness, you know, I think that there's a child in here, you know, or I think that there's a, you know, never heard a voice like yours before. Yeah. And this is my normal voice. It's what's so funny, because, like, that is the big dream. You're right. Because if you hear me, like, if I really, like, try to sound real little, I can really sound little, you know, I mean, so it's a long stretch. This is my low voice, you know.
Love it.
Yeah. I love it.
Awesome. Yeah, it's awesome. Yeah.
It's adorable.
Mm-hmm. Oh, y'all are great.
So, yeah, I'm so excited. Derek, you got any more questions? Because I'm going to roll if you don't go.
Like, I mean, I think you pretty much answered this, but I mean, what made you get into the entertainment? Was there like a certain persona, or was there someone you influenced you or looked up to in particular that kind of
question?
Absolutely. And as somebody that's not alive anymore, okay, when I was about 8, my dad, I saw a movie on TV, and I think I was younger than 8. I might have been 4. But my dad said, I asked my dad, I said, and I was not even really old enough to know about movies and all that. You know, I was playing around with toys. But I said, Dad, we've got to go see this movie about this little girl, the little girl, we've got to. And, you know, I think about that now and I think, oh, my gosh, what if he had been in a bad mood or something? And he had said, I can't do that today or whatever. But he didn't. He said, yeah, of course, you know, sure, we'll go see the movie about the little girl. Her name was Bridget Anderson. And unfortunately, she died of a drug overdose at about 18 years old.
Oh.
But she played in a movie called Savannah Smiles by Mark Miller. And unintentionally, I really think like I am Savannah, just like, you know, at my age, because I'm not really Savannah, but you know what I'm saying? I unintentionally, I wanted to be her so bad.
I was like that with Marilyn Monroe. I get you.
Right.
I love Marilyn Monroe. Yeah. Right. I know what you're saying.
I was like that with Elvira.
Yeah. I loved her too. Yeah, she was awesome. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sorry to cut you off. Keep going.
You didn't cut me off. No, no. And you know, there's lots of examples. Jack Wilde, you know, I'm going back to actually that was kind of before my time, Jack Wilde was, but there's so many people that influenced me. But if you're looking like in my time now, that'd be hard to choose. There's so many great, great ones, you know, out there. I love
Dolly Parton.
You and I said it at the same time.
You owe me a Coke. You owe me a Coke.
You got it, girl. You got it. Now,
you on LinkedIn. I friended you on LinkedIn.
Oh, no. Well, it says I'm on there, but I don't know if I am. So,
oh, my goodness. Okay.
I didn't mean to do that. No, what happened is, see, this is funny too, okay? You know, I'm not a country girl, but I'm was raised like in a cosmopolitan area, right? Mm-hmm. So, and I'm not ashamed if I was a country girl, but I'm just saying I'm not like quite raised on the farm or anything. But at the same time, you know, where was I going with this? I love Dolly Parton, and people have told me my whole life. They used to tell me that I look like Goldie Hawn, and that was quite a compliment, but that was a lot of years ago. But I love Dolly Parton and her energy. Let's call it energy. I love her energy.
Yeah.
She's a really nice person, too.
Yeah, she seems like it anyway.
She reads children's stories to children at night to go to bed. She's just one of the sweetest sounding people ever. Like I would love to meet her and interview her before she is taken from us.
I agree.
Yeah. She's just
amazing. I think she has a long way to go before that.
I love her music. I love her movies. I always watched her movies when I was growing up, and I listened to her music, and I just always loved her.
Yeah, me too.
But I remember my original thought, y'all forgive me for this, but my original thought is I had a cell phone when they first came out, and then I didn't care about it anymore. We didn't have the smartphone, you know, we just had a phone, and I got bored with it because it didn't have the computer hooked up, and I really didn't care about being on the phone all the time. And like I said, I'm not really a country girl, but at the same time, you know, I have a life. And so it wasn't until after the showcase that I said, I've got to have a phone because I can't do anything without it, really. And so teaching Facebook to myself was like learning a foreign language on my own. You know, that's kind of how I felt about it. But I did it. And so I apologize for not being on the LinkedIn, but I probably meant to be on there and wasn't or something. That's how that happened. So I'll fix that.
Okay. That's great. So, you sing, right?
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah. So you have a song out or?
I'm just putting out a single and it's in the process. I've been singing all my life, but as far as like really putting my own single out and performing, again, the showcase, but yes, my dad and I have co-wrote some music together. My dad was a distributor in gospel music, and he also, you know, he sang for James Brown. I think I already said that. And he has his music out on Broad Jams. And anyway, you know, I won't go into all that because that's my dad. But this was really completely separate from what he did, which is why it's such a big deal, because I wasn't riding off the coattails of my parents. You know, they were kind of, I don't want to say they were over television, but they kind of are. They're kind of like, you know, like nobody around me like acts like they're even halfway interested. And I don't get it because like, I just find television just so fascinating and wonderful, you know, but I couldn't, beyond working at a television studio, you know, I couldn't make anybody get on board with me in that way around me. So.
Let's see. So what's the name of your single and how did you come up with that name?
It's called I Love You Anyway, and it's my life story, really. It's about loving people through them, really, if you want to get really honest about it. It's about how they've hurt me, but I didn't let it hurt me. It's not a serious song. It's comedic, sort of. You would probably consider it comedic, but it really is serious when it comes down to it, because I have spent my whole life loving people that may not have loved me back, or I didn't, you know, and I'm not saying I got a chip on my shoulder and I walk through life saying, you got to love me like I love you. In fact, that's exactly the opposite of what I do. I don't expect anything from anybody, and I just love them at full value. And I know that sounds awfully bold of me to say, but it really is the truth.
Listen. It's like looking in the mirror, because when I hear you talk, that's basically, I'm listening to my story, you know? Seriously. Yeah, I get it. I do.
I think that's better.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that sounds great.
Does that sound okay?
Yeah. Yeah. So you got some questions, Jen? I could talk all night.
We know. I'm just kidding.
That's okay. She is a great guest, and I'm really excited that she's here. So go ahead.
She is, most definitely. I'm very excited about. Now, your song is coming out November 17th?
Yes, ma'am.
And what's the name of it again?
I Love You Anyway.
Ooh, I like it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like it. You cut out when she mentioned it, but yeah, great title.
Thank you. I like that. And do you find it difficult being in things like horror movies or anything like that? I mean, especially when we have Christian beliefs, sometimes things like that could scare us or make us not want to be in that realm. You know what I mean?
Do I think about the influence I give? Absolutely. Because half of my life or more, I hated horror movies. I hated what they represented. I hated the fact that they gave bad people bad ideas. But in the entertainment world, it's entertainment. And if you look at TV and you think it's real, then you shouldn't.
Very true. I mean, a lot of people don't seem to get the difference.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Between everything, it's like, you can watch Dexter all day long, but it doesn't mean you're going to go out and become a serial killer.
Exactly.
My entire life has been spent watching horror movies and horror TV, reading horror books.
Love horror.
My video games that I love the most are horror-based. You know what I mean? So
I love horror.
Maybe I'm one of the nicest people on the planet. You would never know in a million years that I'm really fucked up and deranged in the head. But I have been watching. My mother,
I don't believe that for one minute.
My mother and my sister and everybody thought that I was like demented and like there was something really wrong with me or twisted or some shit, because ever since I started watching horror movies, I think I was like 4 years old.
Yeah, I love them too.
And I would laugh when the stupid person that was an asshole got killed.
I would laugh when
one of the stupid big boobed bimbos was. First of all, why would you be wearing high heels in the fucking middle of the forest? Obviously, you're not on the fucking, you're not from that neck of the woods, you know what I mean? So you're obviously that stupid, and I don't know if with every cup size your fucking intellect went down, man. But I'm just saying, why would you run through the woods? Oh my god, I gotta get away from the killer. I have high heels on and a short skirt, and oh my god, and I would laugh so hard when the bitch would fall, would trip over a log and fall down and like break her ankle. And
I know.
She couldn't get away no matter how much she tried to climb on her arms to pull herself forward. Bitch, you ain't going nowhere. You ain't going nowhere.
You're trying to tell him like,
stay there, give up, and let him stab you through the fucking back.
So what you're saying is that nobody could go to the movies with you because you're like screaming, get up.
Move! Hurry! Run! Oh my god, you
know, I know you're nice. I know you're
nice. The corner, you dumb whore! How do you not understand this? You know?
Yeah.
I mean, that's just how I roll.
Yeah, I know your type. It's funny. But yeah, so it's great having you. What else are you doing?
Well, can I expand on one quick thing real quick? You're asking me about the song, and I want to kind of tell you the root of the song, too.
Yes, please do.
You know, when I decided to do that showcase, I already worked in a television studio, and I already had a lot of contacts. And again, I don't mean to come off as bragging. I just wanted to tell you I'd met a lot of celebrities and all that, and I really had to question myself, you know, do I really need their help, or do I really want to do this, or is this something? And, you know, it turned out I had been in a very abusive marriage for a lot of years, and my confidence was very low, and I really did need it. But the root of that song was kind of, showcases have a really bad rap. They do, because a lot of people will go to a showcase expecting a whole lot more than what they get. And so, I don't know if it's in the people's mind that the people expect for them to make you a star instantly, or I don't know if the showcases, some of them are bad. I really don't know. I think there's a lot of factors that play into that. But with mine, they never promised me anything. Basically, what they said is, we're going to put you here in front of these people here, and whatever happens is going to happen. And, you know, that this, you know, whatever happens, happens. So didn't really have a whole lot of expectations, but the song was written in light of kind of like really to them, like saying, even if you're the worst kind of people on earth and you're taking advantage of me, because, and not that I was thinking that, I'm just saying, even if all this is for nothing, and another person had a whole different experience and they wish they hadn't done it, then I want you to know that I love you anyway. I came out here to Jacksonville because whether you've got something for me or not, I still love you. And, you know, I want to perform for y'all. And so that was kind of the root of it. But like I said, it really is my life story anyway. But that was kind of, because one of the lines in it says, it'll be the devil to pay, you know, I love you anyway. And I don't want to give away the whole song, but it says, you know, when we walked out, anyway, the part of it says, you know, if you do me wrong, you'll be sorry when we litigate. And it's said in comedy, but there's sort of a little bit of seriousness to it. Not that I ever would, but I'm just saying that, you know.
Yeah, and that's what I said to my ex-husband. You're really going to hate me when we litigate, because and he really did. He really did.
Yeah.
You shouldn't try to abuse me or my child or children. You're going to pay. Sure. It's going to go badly for you because I've watched millions of horror movies.
Yeah.
And really, really fucked is what this is coming down to.
Yeah.
And I think he's maybe realizing that now with the, oh, sorry, I was going to say the wildebeest he's married to. Oh, wait, did I say that? Anyway.
Yeah. Well, I am very sorry that you went through that. You know, being abused and stuff. What do you have to say to women out there that are being abused right now and don't know what to do? What would you say to them?
Oh, you know, that's so hard, because I had to ask myself that question. What would I say to myself to get out, you know? And I would say, believe in yourself. You're valuable. Amen. And it's really not even about the other person. I mean, they're a jerk, and in the least amount of terms, you know, they're anybody that would ever do that to someone else is just terrible. But it's really not about them. It's about you and you knowing that you are valuable, and that there is a great things out there for you, and you do not have to put up with that. And there are a million people that will love you. And if you don't have the courage right now to walk away, make yourself strong. Make yourself strong so that eventually, you know, I don't mean a situation where you feel like you're going to get killed the next day. But if it's like something like a lot of women will live in something and they slowly die. They're like slowly dying because they think, oh, well, but I can't support myself, or I don't have enough money, or I love him and he's got good to him, right? Or whatever it is, you know. And those things might all be true. They are true. You don't stop loving the person. You just can't live with them anymore. So the thing is I would just encourage them to, you know, make themselves value, you know, do the things, take care of themselves, and give themselves care, and be good to themselves.
You know? I say, amen. Get the fuck out before it gets worse.
Hell yeah.
I was 24, and I was with a guy for almost like a year and a half, like a year and 3 months. And I moved all the way from Maine to Texas with this guy, and then from Texas to California and all that, you know. And he did really horrible things to me and almost ended my life. Let's just put it that way. He tried to murder me several times.
Wow.
And did other horrible, unspeakable things to me that I had to go through many years of fucking therapy for. So,
well, how'd you get out of that? How did you get out of that?
How do I say this? The last time he tried to kill me, I got away and made it down to the lobby of the hotel we were living in on Hollywood Boulevard in California. And the security guard grabbed him up and slammed him to the ground. He was chasing me through the hallways, almost got me. It's a long story, but I don't want to get into the whole graphic details of this. We're trying to do a nice interview today, but
obviously you got away from him.
Right? Yeah. But then the female police officer held a mirror up to me and showed me all the bruises and contusions around my neck and my face and everywhere. And she says, do you really want him to ever do this to you again or to any other woman ever again? And people wonder why I'm friends with him on Facebook. There's a fucking reason. Always know where your enemy lives.
Yeah.
Always find them. So they can't come and find you first. I'm just saying, I still got massive like trust issues and things like that because of that man. And that's been like 25 fucking years ago. This is before my son's father and my son and all that. So before both my kids. So I'm just saying, like, my advice to any females out there who've experienced this or are experiencing this.
Yeah, give it to them.
Especially if you have children, fucking leave.
Yeah.
I agree.
Put it in the nicest of terms that I possibly can. If it hasn't changed by now, it's not going to change.
Right.
And do you want you and or your children to end up dying or having worse traumatic experiences because you chose to see the good in them? Fuck the good in them. I don't give a fuck how much good there is. The second you lay your hands on a woman, a child, a man, I'm sorry, my mother was abusive, and that's where it all stems from, me not loving myself enough and not realizing that I was worthy of a better person, was because I was abused as a child. And I saw her abuse my mom and my older sister. And I'm just saying, like, get away, leave.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying. But not keep talking about that. I mean, I know it's part of the life story of what you're trying to talk about in your music and movies and things. And I thank you for that.
Yeah, really.
Because more women need to hear this, and men.
Yeah.
Because there are men that are abused. It's just men are less likely to talk about it than women are. Women are ashamed as it is to talk about these things. I know I was, but men, it's even worse for them because society views them as, oh, they're supposed to be the strong ones. Men don't get abused. Men don't get raped. Men don't have these bad things. No, they do. They just don't always talk about it because society views everything in a certain way. You got any comment on that, Derek? Being a dude?
I mean, coming from experience, I can honestly say, I mean, I don't want to touch into too much personal detail, but
no, your wife's awesome.
No, not with my wife, but my ex. My ex, me and her went through a hefty court battle over my oldest son, and I can honestly see. I mean, I've from dealing with the court systems, the lawyer, family court. They do view it as it is one track system. It's, look, if the woman, you know, the guy, like I've had the lawyers tell me, look, if I know you feel, because I actually ended up filing a case regarding her because. Because of just some threats, name calling, and
not healthy for the kid either, right?
Yeah, not healthy for the kid at all. And actually going back to the situation, men, like you said, they learn, they actually turn around and say, honestly, I agree, it is a form of mental abuse, domestic abuse, because it is abuse, but the judge can look at it.
They look at the woman as the victim.
Always,
and
it's not always the case.
No. I think a lot more often, a lot of men are looking at guys. See, I mean, not that I'm saying all men are beautiful, don't get me wrong, but there are a handful of them that are actually myself who are decently out there, guys who are trying to just do a thing, make a living, earn a career, do their things with life, and they just fall into a bad situation and they get roped into a matter of, you know, it's just a matter of trying to find a way out of it. And It is really a touchy subject, I can tell you. Matter of fact, going back to the situation you were explaining involving, you know, abusing kids and women, like, she's right now, ironically, that's part of the reason why she can't really, I don't want to say too much for legal purpose, but that's why their issues are in place right now, why she can't have a relationship with her son, because the man she's currently with actually was formally found abusive towards her and our child by the division.
That sounds like another show. We could do a whole show on that, huh?
That's when I become Dexter.
Oh yeah, like I went through it personally, and I have to say it. And I, up to this day, I try to call it. I'm like, well, you need to get out of that. We're not together, but I worry about it because you're my husband. I look over and it's pretty bad that you can't even have a relationship with your child because you're
unbelievable. Yeah.
Well, I can't call because you might know I'm on the phone.
Sorry you had to go through that, dude.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Do you have any projects coming up, Brantley? Any kind of stuff you got going on? Are you filming for anything?
I signed with two new agencies. You can have 50 agencies. It's really not about agencies. It's about having the time to do the work. And so I'm going to start going on castings again. And also, too, I want to write something. Whether I put myself as the lead or I, you know, audition people, but I want to write something about, maybe like a romance comedy, something about marriage and, the ups and downs of marriage. I've been married for the second time, 16 years to a good man. And, you know, there's been still been a lot of ups and downs with that. And so mainly ups, you know, you bought me a Cadillac and, you know, not just materially, but, you know, a lot of ups. So I think there's a lot of humor to be shared in real honesty about marriage and keeping it together and what it actually takes and,
it's,
you know, and the work of it, right.
Yeah, it's hard.
You
work.
And I are just like on the same like page, girl.
Listen, look me up on Facebook. We gotta connect because
we'll have to friend each other somehow. I did just recently get on Instagram. But yeah, so I signed with these two new agencies, which one wasn't really new. And I'm gonna be on 800 Casting and Casting Networks and do that. But hopefully start to travel again, you know, and I would love to come to LA. Oh my, would I? I've been to LA before many times and, well, I won't say many times, a few times, and I didn't want to leave, you know, but, and I feel kind of down in my heart, like that's calling me at some point, but I don't know if it's called me yet, but I sure love it. I'm thrilled to be in the show. Yeah.
Only reason I would ever leave. And I'm not saying anything right now. The only reason I would ever leave would be my children and my parents, my family, that kind of stuff. And the cost of living out here is fucking ridiculous. But the only thing that could even remotely like drag me back to Maine would be my children and my family. You know what I mean? Like spending more time with them. You know what I mean? My parents are 80 now. They might only have 5, 10, maybe 15 years left if I'm really lucky.
Life is short.
I just had a my first grandchild was just born a week and a half ago. I would like to kind of see, you know, him grow up, you know what I mean, and spend time with him. And I missed out on the last 5 years with my daughter because I feel like sometimes, like, I've been selfish.
I had a lot of
great reasons in my mind for staying here, even after my children both bailed and went back to Maine. And a lot of it has been a good thing. You know what I mean? I wouldn't have gotten maybe with Stoney. I wouldn't have met a lot of the people that I've met or made a lot of the friends that I've made. The concert thing probably wouldn't have happened. A lot of things wouldn't have happened. Yeah. You know what I mean? Artist management, other things.
We wouldn't have met each other. Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Right. So I wouldn't have met Derek. I wouldn't have met Brantley. There's a lot of things that probably would not have happened had I gone back to Maine and bailed at an earlier time. This show would not be a thing. There would be no Jenny's Real Talk on the Block. I would never have met my husband, and we would not be married. There's a lot of things. If I had gone back when my daughter went back initially and like took my son back with me, you know, I mean, but the point is I've missed out on like a year with my son, 5 years with my daughter.
Can I tell you something?
Son. Yeah.
Everything happens for a reason.
I'm
here to tell you that.
Everything now it's time to build the East Coast Division. Get Real Global Entertainment, LLC.
Yeah. Awesome.
I don't view it as a bad thing. Husband and I do not view any of this as a bad thing. Yeah. And, I would be on the East Coast, and then I could come see the three of you.
Yeah.
And I could come visit you guys. And so that's a good thing, you know.
Brantley, get my number from Jennifer. Seriously.
Yes.
Okay.
I'll send you her information. And you take friend requests still on Facebook, right?
Absolutely.
I mean, China.
I'm not really on there, but
I kind of noticed that you never really are.
yeah.
Oh Lord. Well, where can everybody find you, Brantley? As far as like, if I know you have a fan page. You have an IMDb account. You've got a Facebook page, obviously, and Instagram and all that. Just let everybody know where they can find you and where they can find like your movie that just came out this summer and your song that's coming out in next month.
Sure. Well, it's hard to get in touch with me, but no, I'm kidding. But the truth is, you know, and I always tell the truth, but, you know, the best way to get in touch with me is through Messenger on Facebook. I can't seem to answer the phone anymore because I get these calls all day long, these stupid scam calls all day long. Mm-hmm. And you know, it'll tell me scam, probably scam or whatever. So, you know, I don't even answer that. And it's all day long. And it's not just me. It's like a lot of people that I know. So the movie you can see on Tubi. It's on DVD out at Walmart. I work for a station called Dub Broadcasting, Carolina Christian Broadcasting. It's the oldest Christian television station in the world.
Trinity Broadcasting Network. TBN, yeah.
Yeah, it's not TBN, it's actually Dub Broadcasting, WGGS Television.
Oh.
People think TBN is the oldest, but it's actually not.
Oh.
And Daystar, they're from Greenville, too. They're from where I'm from. But the movie is on DVD. It's out on Tubi. The song, you'll be able to get it. I'll send a link like through my Facebook page. And it's going to be distributed on Amazon and iTunes and, you know, many different venues. And it'll list all that, and then you'll be able to get it from myself also. And this is just the first single. I'm just starting. So I'm going to put out a single, then I'm going to put out another single and another single, hopefully. And, you know, we'll just do it like that.
Well, you'll have to come back again.
I would love that.
Yeah.
I really would love that. Definitely.
Of course we can make that happen.
Yeah.
Because it's great. Show, and I'm the one that books primarily for it, but that's the way I look at it. Next week, first of all, I want to say thank you so much to Brantley Goldford for being on the show today. We really appreciate you and talking to us about all these amazing things that you have done in the course of your life, and you're making me wish I was you.
Stop, but
thank you so much for being on the show today. I really appreciate you. Thank you so much to Chyna Myers and obviously Derek Webb for being on the show today. We appreciate both of you as always. Next week we have the mysticist, the tarot card reader, the crystal ball reader, Dawn Marlowe. And she also makes amazing edibles. I wouldn't know. Especially not on a Delta flight that was 5 hours, and the husband and I had a serious panic attack because we ate a whole cookie. Never eat a whole cookie, or never. Jenny will have a panic attack like a motherfucker in mid-flight.
You turned on jalapenos.
Okay. Anyway. Next week we've got Dawn Marlowe. Stay tuned. You can find us everywhere. Go check us out, Spotify. We're like literally everywhere. Check out Jenny and just type in Jenny's Real Talk on the Block. We pop up all over the place. We're on Spotify, Sirius XM Radio. We're on TuneIn. You can find us, of course, LA Talk Radio. Just go on their page or download the app, and you can listen to our show or many, many other shows that are on this network. And also just check us out on all social media. We have Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. We're on Tumblr. We're like friggin' everywhere. So go check us
LinkedIn.
Out. Yes, I am on LinkedIn. Jennifer DeVoe Muse. Anyway, I am everywhere you can find Jennifer DeVoe Muse or Jenny's Real Talk on the Block or Get Real Global Entertainment LLC. That is who produces this show. We're distributed by Sony Music Entertainment. And shout out to everybody out there. Thank you for watching. Thank you for listening. And stay tuned. Don't go anywhere because those crazy, wacky guys, those mofos from the Mentality Show are coming up next. Don't leave. 6 mm-hmm. o'clock, our time. 9 p.m. Eastern time. Till next week. Peace out.
Bye. Bye.
Bye.
You're listening to Jenny's Real Talk on the Block with Jennifer DeVoe, only on LA Talk Radio.